not gonna living in Shondaland. If you
wait,
started
hold on
here, what's
don't
wrong
start,
with this?
Don't you start
this,
this
is
episode?
Honest.
Wait,
this is honest. This is honesty. This is podcast gold. Real quick before we get back into it, this is part two. So if you haven't listened to part one, go do that first. But if you're here on purpose, we're gonna start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland. Also, I thought we were gonna do. This is what happened. So we took a little poo-poo pee-pee break in between poo-poo pee-pee. Sold for 1 million poo-poo pee-pees. Someone out there is going to get that reference and go, I fucking love that shit. But we didn't discuss if we're going to do like a full-on intro, and we didn't, because I thought you were starting this episode.
Well,
I started
done
the last
both
one.
Since we split our episodes into two parts, we've done both. Yeah. Where we do full intros both times, and then we've done it where we don't. And this is one where we don't. So
should I still put music
us
in? Do we want underground music for this, or should I just...
It's really up to you.
I'll do it. I'll just do it.
Okay.
Let's just fucking...
Just do
all
it.
Right.
Just fucking do it. Okay.
Shonda. Queen
one,
Shonda, who
two,
I am mad at.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Fuck. Okay.
And I will not tell you the breakdown. But okay. You know some of them, right?
So, for sure, the guy who got... The suicide guy.
Mm-hmm. Mr.
He
Malloy.
He is, and I could tell you, not only is he from Suits, but he was in How to Get Away with Murder. He was the initial time we meet that one girl's dad. I ended up hating her by the end of the show.
Laurel.
But he's the initial dad, and then they recast him.
I didn't remember that, and I like looked on IMDb when I was doing Shondaland, and I was like, Jorge Garcia. And I was like, or Jorge Castillo.
Yes.
I was like, that's wrong. That's not who her dad was. But then it was like only one episode. And I was like, well, I know her dad is in way more than one episode. And then I was like, I also know it was that other dude. And this is the first. It was like the end of season one.
Yeah.
So it was like very, very early on. He was also in. Anyways, wait, you go guess the rest of them and then we'll do it.
Okay. The guy who, the driver.
Yes.
He.
So 2 out of 4.
Yep. So he also, he played a bellhop in the movie That Thing You Do, which is a movie with Liv Tyler, Steve Zahn, Tom Hanks, one of the greatest movies of all time. But he was in something else, and I didn't go IMDb it because I didn't want to spoil anything for myself, but I know he's in Shondaland. I just don't remember what it was. And as soon as you say it, I'm going to kick myself for not remembering it.
Well, yeah.
Anyways, so then Jessica's father. I don't know what he's in.
Oh.
But he's in something.
Okay.
I'm just, I he's my guess. And then my last guess is, I'm trying to think who else. Is it Jessica? Is it the girl?
No, it's not. But 3 out of 4 isn't bad. One more guess.
Is it the car driver's wife?
Yes.
Oh,
wow.
Nice.
Wow.
Thank
well
you.
Done. Claps for Carmi.
I was trying to remember who else was new in this episode.
Yeah. There's not a lot. I was like, I almost, because I did all of them, and then Jessica wasn't. And I was like, dang, I thought they were all going to be. And then I was like, oh, I wonder if the psych guy who literally comes in and is like, where's the patient?
Oh, that would have been a good guess too. Yeah. I forgot about that. I would not have gotten him. But we do get the return of the security guard from Genovia, is back in this episode. But he was already, was he living in Shondaland when we meet him? Or no?
I don't think so.
Anyways. Okay. All right.
I didn't even look because I was like, I would have already done this, but I don't remember. I don't think he was.
Right.
Because I wanted him to be and he wasn't. Okay, so first of all, Mr. Gates, who is the driver of the car, his name in real life is amazing. It's Oba Babatunde, which is like the coolest name ever. So he played Mr. Gates, and you actually haven't seen him in Shondaland. He is in an episode of Private Practice that is further down the road, like season 5 or 6, maybe.
Okay, wait, hold on. Before we do this then, so if it's not anything spoiled, Oba, yeah. Baba...
O-B-B-A.
Oh, okay, O-B-B-A.
Tunde.
Baba Tunde.
Which, is that not like the coolest name, seriously?
It's super dope. But I want to look up his IMDb because I need to know. I've seen him in something recently and I was like, oh, fuck, that's him. So as I'm looking, just bear with me, guys. I want to look this up here. So as soon as I see it, I'm going to know.
Real time learning, guys.
Real time learning. This is the best kind of learning.
On the air.
Is real time learning.
Is this entertainment?
I think it is.
Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? Let's see. Okay, he's in a lot of shit. Like,
yeah, he's really done a lot of work. He's,
man,
very busy.
Oba, more like, oh, busy as fuck. Am I right? He was in Psych, but what did he, was that the episode that I saw him in recently? Maybe I'm thinking of Psych. He was in an episode of Psych, and I guess I forgot about that.
Wow,
so
I'm a real fan.
Apparently not. Terrible. So anyways, that gets us into the year 2000, so I'm going to stop looking there. But yeah, so he was in Psych, and he was in...
3000. Fuck Joe Jonas, by the way. Yeah.
Oh.
We're Team Sophie.
Are we?
Yes.
I need to be on this. I have known nothing about it. I need someone to tell me what team I'm on.
You're on Team Sophie. Trust me. Okay, Eldon Henson played Matt Smithson, so Jessica's father. He was in an episode of Private Practice that you have already seen. Do you remember when Sam had to do the house call to the robbery?
Oh, that's right. Yes. I literally
got shot. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy.
I watched that like last week because I've just like had it on to kind of like get ready for when we actually can do it. But yeah,
I made a note in my note list that he was in Psych. So when we record that Patreon content someday,
we're doing our best.
It's like, do we do the Patreon stuff or do we make sure we don't fall here? You know, we'll get to it. Fucking, we're doing our best. You guys
are Jose Zuniga. How do you say the N when it has the, I forget what this is
the
called.
The little squiggly?
Yeah. Do you know
how to
say
it? I think it's like a nya.
Okay. Because it's Z-U-N-I-G-A.
Either it's like a Zuniga, like nya, like Zuniga.
I should have looked this up. I apologize.
Do you want to do some real time learning? I just did it.
Proper research.
It's okay. You're doing great.
I am doing amazing. You can hear
I can
my
hear
typing.
Jess taking a conference call upstairs. No, I get your Jess's conference call upstairs. Should I go interrupt her conference call like she interrupted our recording the other day?
Okay, we were not recording, but she did say she texted me. She was like, can you imagine if you were actually recording? And there's because she asked me, she was like, could you hear me? And I was like, yeah. And she was, so it would pick up if you had been recording and I just screamed down, Carmen, what's for lunch?
Well, she got Buffalo Wild Wings, so I'm really excited to eat that. Tuesdays and Thursdays are the BOGO Buffalo Wild Wings days. That's the only time I'll go to B-Dubs. It's at that point, it's at least an okay value.
Yeah, I don't love it because I just don't think it's very good wing-wise, like quality of wings.
You know what I miss?
Oh.
Fucking gators. What? What's the problem?
Sorry. Zuniga. That's Zuniga. What YouTube has told me. Zuniga.
Cool. So,
sorry. Okay.
Jose.
So he was in... So that is who was Mr. Malloy. So he was Jorge Castillo in the first introduction of him in
one
season
episode.
One of How to Get Away with Murder. And he was in one of my favorite episodes of Scandal. This is also early season one or season two, where he's like the dictator in another country and his wife and kid like wants to leave. And Olivia's like, I'm not going to do it. And Abby gets super mad and they have like a screaming match. And then she ends up like getting them out. I love that episode.
I do remember that episode. Good. Was he in anything else, Shondaland?
No, just those two.
Okay.
So and then...
you said...
Three.
How to Get Away with Murder.
Three, including Grace. So he's...
Yeah. He didn't get Private Practice, though.
Or Station 19.
But Station 19 is still running, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's got time to get into there.
He's not done Bridgerton.
Uh-oh. He's got to get the full. Is there anyone who's done the full Shonda universe? Infinity Gauntlet.
The closest I think that we have is Thatcher, because he's obviously
right.
And he was he on an episode of Private Party? He was technically in the backdoor pilot where Addison goes to LA the first time. So I don't know if you would count that as being on Private Practice.
No, that's Grace.
And then he was in Inventing Anna. He was in How to Get Away with Murder, Scandal.
He was in the crossover. That's why he was in How to Get Away with Murder,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not actually sure, to be honest. I think he's the closest one to, like, all of them. Okay. And then Carlise Burke played Mrs. Gates, and she was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. So that
I don't remember what episode that was.
The 11-minute episode, Shondaland.
You know what? It was good.
And so, yeah. Okay, so let's get into the second half of the episode.
Strap your genitals to yourself, because this is going to be a hot one, a hot, stanky episode. So
let's start with Izzy. She's having a hard time, but not at first. At first, she's fine-ish.
Yeah.
So Izzy has started chemo, and actually, like, is one of the first things we see in the episode is her getting chemo, and Alex is sitting with her. And again, the thing that they are giving her, they keep saying it's high dose IL-2. I don't know what that means, but they are saying that it is, like, more toxic than regular chemo, which obviously regular chemo is already, like, very intense. And this is a higher dose of this very intense thing. So, she is getting that. And so it's basically going to rip her body apart even more intensely than a regular chemo dosage, I guess, would. So Meredith has told her that she can help plan the wedding to kind of take her mind off of being sad and in the hospital. So she is, like, calling dress shops, and she's like, can you bring the dresses to me? I can't come in. I have cancer, which she literally does. So I'm not minimalizing cancer. That's what she does. She's like, I got the black lung.
Black lung pop.
And so then the dresses are there. She's, like, very intensely planning this very elaborate wedding, which is not what Meredith wants. I do think Derek wants a big wedding, but I don't think he wants it enough to say to Meredith, oh, this is what I want. I think marriage is a bigger step for Meredith than it is for Derek. Not, like, relationship wise, like, obviously marriage is a huge step for both of them, but between the two of them, it is a bigger deal that Meredith has, like, come to a point where she is, like, wants to be married versus Derek, who, like, was more, like, ready for that step.
Right.
So I think he is fine doing whatever it is she wants. You know, if she wants the smaller, like, intimate, simple wedding, he's, like, fine. But I think if she was like, I want a huge ass wedding, 600 guests, church, 4 dresses, like, I think he'd be like, let's do it. Like, so, Izzy is planning a more elaborate wedding than what Meredith wants.
With a top hat.
Top hat tails. She wants to, like, get florals delivered. She is getting these dresses. She's also faking, like, death to
dumb
get people's
shit.
Attention,
just the
which
dumbest.
I don't like.
Oh.
It's not funny.
No, it's not. When she does the flatline thing the first time,
she, like, disconnects herself so that it flatlines, which I will say, I've only been in the hospital and on things for birth. When things are disconnected, it's like, I'm just not getting a reading. It, like, knows if it's just not getting a reading versus if the reading it's getting is death. Maybe that wasn't the case in 2009, but that's what it was when I was in the hospital.
Technology's come a long way. Yeah. I could tell if you're dying or if you're just Izzy Stevensing the shit out of me right now. Like, and then the choking thing too. Like, she is like boy who cried wolfing all over. And I'm just like, you need to calm down.
And then of course she actually collapses. Right. And it's like very, well, first she throws up, right? So she like seems to have not lost her appetite, which they're like, this is so great. Like, I'm so glad the IL-2 isn't affecting you. And then when she's alone in the room, she like vomits and kind of, there's like a realization. She's like, oh shit, like this is going to affect me more than I want it to. And then she tries to hang up a wedding dress later and just full on collapses. And so I think that's kind of supposed to be a symbol both to her and us, the audience, that like shit is real, right? She's not just like bebopping and happens to be in the hospital. Like she is, the mortality rate is low.
Yeah. What, 5%? So,
yep. We don't, it's not looking great.
Yeah. And you can see she visibly starts to change over the course of this episode. Not like a ton, but you could see that she
like gets starts more to look sickly. Tired and like paler.
Yeah.
The coloring goes. She
also
is pale.
I've been watching, obviously we finished Scandal, and I'm like, oh man, would they get some Gettysburger delivered? and Lexi's sitting there eating the fries. Also, gosh, Lexi like really struggling.
Oh my god.
Just what stress an angel. Eating.
I love
all
her
day.
So much.
Yeah, she's a queen. Oh, precious man. Note. That scene where Meredith is like shitting on her, I'm like, whoa. Like, calm down, Meredith.
As a defense.
Like, you guys need to make up because look at how terrible Lexi is. She's dying. Lexi has acne now, and her ass is so fat. Like,
yeah. Okay.
Oh boy.
We'll get there.
Izzy Stevens. So, sorry, I one not one track mind. Sheesh. Apparently.
Yeah. So, anyways, Izzy is like, I feel bad for her, but also like, don't be shitty. With the faking
rule
out.
Rule of thumb. Rule of thumb for everyone.
Yeah. And, but also that I will say it's a little on Meredith. Don't tell her that she can plan the wedding and then avoid her. Like,
right.
Go do it. Like commit or don't. Like that's on you also. Also, I don't know what you thought was going to happen when you told Izzy she could plan your wedding. Like think about what we know from Izzy in the past. Like she goes all out at like Christmas, at Thanksgiving, like all the time. She's all in. Okay. Like we know this about her. This is on you. You made this call. So Meredith, she finally goes in there and she's getting her to try on all of these dresses. And they're like the typical like giant poofy princess like ball gown dresses.
She looked good in them. Her. And
she
I also want to say,
them, yeah,
this is probably the best episode that Meredith has ever looked. I was just like every scene that she was in, I was like,
for sure.
Dang, girl, you look good. Even the opening scene where she's in bed and she's looking at the ring, and I'm like, dang, Meredith, you look good. You look good, girl.
Yeah. I will say this about wedding dresses. And if you are in a stage of life where you are wedding dress shopping or will be one day, when I went wedding dress shopping, I had a really good bridal consultant who like before we started was like, here's the thing about wedding dress shopping. Even if you don't like the dress, it's a wedding dress, so you're going to like look good because it's a very formal, beautiful gown. So it's easy to get lost in like, oh, they all look good. I don't know what to choose. Or like, oh, they all like start to look the same. It's just you have to kind of go into it with a mindset. And it's hard if you like don't know what you want. Anyways, I could talk about this for an hour. But it's just like what you to your point, like, yeah, she looked good in all of them. But that doesn't mean like, you know, it's a dress that Meredith should get. I think the one they ultimately choose of all the ones shown makes the most sense because it's like it's not as big and poofy, but it's still like. Really be first of all that thing would be so heavy it would be so like beaded dresses are beautiful but like they're like 20 pounds like for it to be that sparkly. I mean it does have straps so at least there's that because Kelly when she got married it was strapless but she had straps added on because hers was beaded so it's very very heavy. I remember like the day after I was putting it on in the car, I was putting her dress in the car and I was like, how did you wear this for like 15 hours? My God.
Well, this, you know, when you talk about physics, the straps help disperse the weight out to more pressure points.
Like,
so it actually
crazy.
Feels. also, speaking of weddings, I just want to do a quick shout out. I was chatting with our friend Becca and wanted to shout Becca out. You know who you are, Becca. She's getting married in about 8 weeks. So,
congrats.
Yeah. We were talking about some of the Patreon stuff, and she's like, I'm getting married in 8 weeks, but also, like, there's 10 Patreons that I'm considering, and Grays is on that list. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I don't, you know, whatever you do, like, first off, respect. But more importantly, we're with you when you get married. Yeah. In your heart, please. Not physically. We didn't get invites, but it's okay.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting distracted. What was I talking about? Izzy. Oh, Izzy's planning the wedding. She collapses. She collapses and she's alone. Tyler's there and he's like, "Do you want me to get anybody?" And she's like, "No." And then she collapses. And then after collapsing, Christina's like, "Oh, this is, you know, your blood pressure is 92 over 78, which, and she's like, "That's good." And Izzy's like, "No, it's not. Don't lie." Which, it's not good. Blood pressure is supposed to be 120 over 80. So mine's like, 92 is low. That's mine's bad.
Like 600 over 400.
That's bad. You should seek medical attention. That's like one thing. My blood pressure is almost always like spot on. It'll be like 119 over 79. Like, I have very good blood pressure, except when I'm in labor. Then it's bad because I don't like pain. So my blood pressure goes very high. But then they won't let me leave the hospital until it goes back down. And I'm like, well, there's a lot happening and I'm very tired because I had to birth a human.
Yeah, I don't even know what my blood pressure is. I need to find a PCP is what I think I need to do.
I also need to do that because I asked my doctor to test my hormones and he was like, "No, I'll test your thyroid." And I was like, "Thyroid is fine. I need to test my hormones." And guess what? My thyroid was fine. If you're a doctor, we both are, but I don't practice, so I can't answer this question.
Right.
If someone asks you to run or just to order a specific test, can someone explain to me why they won't do that? Like, what does it harm them? I'm the one that's going to get billed for that test being done. So I don't understand why they're like, "No, I won't do that."
Yeah,
like, I just want to know because Jessica had the same thing and where she was like, "I would like you to test my hormones." And they did like the minimal testing. And they were also like, "We'll test your thyroid." And they didn't even run a full thyroid panel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my thing that frustrates me about that is like, what does it hurt? Just you're going to bill us. You're going to bill us fucking anyways. Run it through the insurance. You're already like, taking my blood.
I will pay for it. I don't understand. Someone explain it to me, please. Anyways, okay, that's a talk.
American health system
is garbage. Okay, so Izzy's blood pressure is bad, and then Christina is talking to her, and they're like, "Listen, like, you know, like, what did you think was going to happen? You know, it's bad news bears."
Yeah.
Izzy says, "All I wanted to do today was flip through magazines and call caterers and make Mare try on dresses I knew she'd hate. I thought it would be fun or funny. I thought I could be the same person I was when I woke up this morning, but I'm not. I'm just another patient trapped inside a sick, dying, cancer-ridden body." And when she said trapped inside a sick, dying, cancer-ridden body, it really reminded me of Denny being like, "Yeah. I'm a horse of a man trapped in this like fucking awful body."
Yeah. I didn't remember that, but it jarred my memory when you said that just now.
Yeah.
It's a tough episode for Izzy. And even with how smart she is, she's like, "No, not me. I can do this."
Well, yeah. And I think also when you are coming from the other side, like she's like, "Well, I have, you know, the inside scoop. So I just know what to expect. So because I know what to expect, I'll like beat it. Like mind over matter almost."
I don't know. When Dr. Swender was like, "She's going to be begging to have death.
She's going to wish she was dead."
Like, yeah. I'm like, oh gosh, bleak.
Also bleak. The episode of Private Practice that she was in was also an early one. 'Cause I watched it recently and it was like, she her and her husband were there getting fertility tests done, and she like told Addison and Naomi to tell Ray, her husband, that they couldn't have a baby because she thought she might have Huntington's disease, but gotten tested, and then she did, and then she did have it, but she was like, I'm just gonna leave and not tell my husband. And they were like, maybe don't do that.
But she wasn't playing as Dr. Swender.
No, she was Angie.
breaking all the rules with these universes.
Just wait. It gets so much worse.
Goodness. I don't know. So far, the worst one is Paris Geller. Paris, what's her last name?
Geller.
It is. No relation to Ross Geller, though. Ross or Monica. Yeah.
Paris Eustace Geller.
Eustace. Eustace nuts. So the only time I was actually really annoyed with Izzy this entire episode, I was mad at her for the faking of the death thing. But when she said caterers don't do buffalo wings, you can go suck on a nut. Get the fuck out of here. And Meredith's like, I wanted a hot wing wedding. And she's like, ugh, no. I'm like, who cares? Hot also, wings are great. Cater the hot wings.
Caterers will do most anything you ask them to do.
Yes.
Just find a right caterer.
If I was in a season where I wanted to have hot wings at my wedding, I would have had hot wings at my wedding. We did
Yeah, exactly. The way you guys had that was like the late night munchies food.
Yeah.
Not that there was weed at your wedding, but like the drunk munchies.
Right. The drunkies.
Drunchies.
There you go.
That could have easily been hot wings.
Yeah.
Well, with no worries.
The only thing that I could maybe see Izzy's point, which she didn't articulate it well, so I'm not going to give her this benefit of the doubt, is hot wings are like really messy food. There's no graceful way to eat a hot wing.
In a wedding dress, I would be petrified to eat hot
yes.
wings.
Yes.
I don't
Unless
even
you
like,
did a
wear
red
white
dress.
Shirts most of the time because I cannot be trusted.
Yeah. Yeah, I as an Italian, I try to not wear white shirts because of the sheer amount of pasta that I'm eating at all times.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyways, I was just really annoyed with that. I'm like, get the fuck. Like, Izzy, shut up. Like,
and
usually
then she's
I'm on your
like
side.
Shitting on grocery store cheese trays. Grocery store cheese trays slap. Okay.
She's you know never what? Been to an Aldi ever, apparently.
Exactly. Man, I could fucking make a stunning charcuterie from Aldi.
Oh, absolutely.
They have
on a
like
budget.
A whole they have a whole like shelf now that's like, are you making a charcuterie? Look here. And I'm like, I will. Thank you, Aldi.
There was a like a gourmet little tiny pickle jar that they had a while back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was made with like peppers and
like
onions.
Like spicy pickled.
And it was like nice. So it was good. I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, that's the thing with Aldi. They'll get you hooked on something and then they'll be like, we don't make this anymore. And I'm like,
I still got my habanero pickles from the carpet store, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Have you eaten any?
Yeah. They're in the refrigerator. Okay. I'll go in and I'll like, I'm savoring them. I like do
okay,
one
good.
At a time.
I just wanted to make sure you had eaten some. The good thing about pickles is they last for a while.
Yeah. I also have the olives with the jalapeno and the garlic stuffed.
Do you still
olives.
Have the moonshine?
No, I finished the moonshine.
That's a lot of moonshine.
Listen.
Jesus.
Yeah, the one your dad gave me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we finished that.
Nice.
Then like it was passed around between a lot of people. It was
okay, good. I'm glad. That's meant to be enjoyed.
It was like in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you know how Boyle's Nana, they have the sourdough and it just You know, it's a self-sustaining dough. I think we could have made a sourdough with all the germs that were actually passed around on the tip of that mason jar. But the moonshine killed it, I'm sure. Sterilized it all.
That's
that thing
probably
was
true.
Like 600%
alcohol. It's real moonshine. We don't fuck
That's
around
real
here.
Fucking moonshine.
Okay. So yeah, Izzy, anything else to say about Izzy? I mean, it's just a bummer. Like she's just sick. She's just fucking really sick.
It is a bummer. I'm keeping with my prediction. She's going to die in the finale.
Okay. And
also I do want to point out Meredith looks good with a side pony and that last dress.
She does.
Looks really
I
good with a side
that
pony.
Same note. Like when she pulls the side pony, with the last dress that they end up picking, like so pretty.
Yeah.
And her hair is like a little bit curlied. It's so nice.
Yeah.
She's very pretty.
Yeah. And when, okay, Lexi truly is a national treasure in this episode. When she's eating the fries and Izzy's mm-hmm. like, Meredith, you look so pretty. And Lexi's like, pretty. And she's like sitting there eating the fries. Yeah. And you could tell like she's in love with the fries. And she's not being condescending. She's like, yeah, you do look pretty, but these fries are great. Like, so funny.
So the actress who plays Lexi was pregnant in real life. So they kind of like wrote that storyline as like a little bit of a joke. Because she had been like eating. She had been joking about eating a lot because she was pregnant. So they were like, well, like, we'll like write that in as a joke. And she was like, okay.
Is she pregnant with someone on the show? Did her and Mark date in real life?
Who is her husband? I feel like her husband is someone famous though, but I could be wrong. I also think she lives in Canada.
What's that about?
She's so pretty. Nathan West. Oh, no, I don't know him.
Is he related to Mayor Adam West?
Yes. Oh, he was in the movie Miracle, which I have a history with. Good Shrek one. Is better than Miracle. Okay.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
He was the guy in Bring It On.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Oh!
Okay, calm down.
Oh my God, Bring It On is so good.
Is that the Amanda Bynes and Channing Tatum movie?
No! No. Burr, it's cold in here. There must be some toros in the atmosphere. I said, owie, owie, owie. I said, how do you not?
Wait, is that the Hayden Panettiere movie?
No, she was in one of the sequels, though.
Which one am I thinking of?
That one is more valid a question. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, anyways, so.
Now that we've gone down that rabbit hole.
This is unhinged. Everyone berate Carmen for not seeing Bring It On.
Or just give me a pass. Like, or be nice to me.
I don't understand. Whatever. Okay, so so Lexi is stress eating because Derek and Mark are still fighting. And they are really putting her in the middle of it. Like, it's unprofessional. They are fighting over the best course of treatment. So they're treating the driver who was injured in the accident. And there's like an argument because of the way his eardrum was ruptured and the way his skull was fractured. There's an argument over who needs to do what first. And they do the surgery like simultaneously in the end. But they're like really putting Lexi in the middle. They're like, which one do we need to do first? And he's like, this one. She's like, wrong. I'm like, oh my God. And then Dr. Gray, Lexi. Oh my God. Leave her alone.
Yeah. And then she's like, you're both good. Shut up.
You're both brilliant surgeons. So she's eating the toast in the morning. Then she's eating like Skittles. Then she's eating a Butterfinger. Then she's eating the French fries. Then she's eating a Twinkie. Like
Like the toast makes sense. Like you're eating in the morning, right? Like breakfast, mm-hmm. you know, toast to some is breakfast. And then she was like, when there was the car crash and they're running up to the ambulance and she's like, she popped something in her mouth. And I was like, is she on drugs? Is she Dr. Housing right now? She wasn't. Spoiler alert. No, it was just candy. Not. So, but when I realized she was stress eating, I was like, oh yeah, like that makes sense. This is a lot. It's a lot to handle. And also Mark and Derek aren't making it easy on her. Like that tension when they first walk in.
Explicitly making it more difficult.
Yeah. For everyone. So, but yeah, she's very funny. I really enjoy her.
She is really funny. And so then, she tells Meredith, she's like, please talk to them. Like, I'm going to die if you don't talk to them. And so then Izzy releases Meredith from her prison of dresses to go talk to them. And Meredith goes and yells at them. And she's like, you're getting married. This is supposed to be a happy time. Like, you're supposed to be, or you should be the best man. Lexi says that to Mark.
When he said that the chief was going to be the best man, I almost lost my fucking mind.
They really brought back the Meredith hating the chief storyline in this episode. We have really not seen it since like the end of season four, when Meredith was like in the therapy and she's like, Ellis tried to kill herself because of Richard. And then she confronts him about it. And then like, there's really no interaction between the two of them. And then right now they're like, Meredith hates the chief. It's like, okay.
It's thick, mm-hmm. thick.
Meredith says, before you guys go in there and start cutting on this patient, you need to apologize to each other. If not for the patient, for Lexi, for me or for Lexi, look at her. Her face is breaking out. Her ass is humongous. And she says, it's true. I had to get the scrubs with the elastic waistband. Meredith says, if you don't apologize right now, she's not scrubbing in. And Lexi says, I won't, and you can't make me. This should be a joyful time. Your best friend is getting married. You should be the best man. Derek, the chief will be my best man. Meredith, what? Lexi, is my ass really? Lexi, could you excuse us? And then Meredith's like, the chief. And Derek says, the best man is my choice. When are you going to let go of the grudge you have against the chief? And then Meredith has a very good moment of growth.
The greatest comeback of all time. Also,
Derek, the man had an affair with my mother, broke up my parents' marriage, and basically destroyed my childhood. Meanwhile, you've been best friends with Mark for 20 years and you're willing to throw it all away over nothing. So don't talk to me about holding grudges. I'll get over mine when you get over yours.
Mic fucking drop.
I mean, she's right.
Yeah, she is. You know what else she's right about? We need to take like 2 seconds.
Small break. To hear from our regional sponsors.
Yes. We'll be back after these messages. And we are back just like Mark and Derek's friendship. Oh.
Here's my thing about grudges. People
you
say,
love them.
I do. I really do. I'm not going to pretend that I don't hold grudges, but I feel like I must hold grudges differently than other people, because people are like, oh, it's so like bad for you to hold a grudge. Like, you have to let it go. And I'm like, when I hold a grudge, I don't feel like it affects me that harshly, because basically me holding a grudge is being like, I don't like this person. And there's just a very like defined reason why. And I'm just not going to like them.
Yeah.
And I don't understand when people are like, oh, it just eats away at you. I'm like, no, it doesn't. I don't like them.
You're doing grudges wrong. Like,
maybe, yeah, I'm not doing revenge. Maybe that's
different.
The issue. Maybe I should be doing revenge.
I'm also doing grudges.
Should I be doing revenge?
I don't know. Ask Taylor Swift.
Vigilante shit, am I right?
Vigilante shit. Thank you for understanding my reference. One of the few songs off that album I actually didn't dislike. There was a lot that I didn't like on that album. Yeah.
Hot take.
It is a hot take.
Whatever.
I understand.
She's gonna no,
the Lover album and after. 1989 is her peak.
I really enjoyed Folklore.
I don't know if I
it's fine.
Patreon. we'll talk about this conversation. So my thing with grudges is like, it's the revenge that makes a difference, because Derek is actively saying, okay, like I have this grudge, but to get back at you, I'm actively choosing the chief, which I know is going to hurt you. I know that not being the best man at my wedding is going to hurt you. Granted, yeah. I'm going to put a little caveat here. We love Mark Sloan, but Mark Sloan has done a lot of dumb shit to
Mark
Derek.
Mark Sloan was already the best man and he did sleep with that wife.
Yeah. So when they're in the surgery and Mark is like, oh, that's all you ever do is harp on like sleeping with your wife. It's kind of a big one. It's like,
oh, we get it. I fucked your wife while you were married. God forbid me for making a mistake.
Oh, goodness. It's just, it's funny. It's just funny. And yeah. Mark believes that Derek should be over it.
True.
But at this point in their storyline, we are led to believe that Mark has never done anything, or Derek has never done that egregious to Mark. It sounds like the worst thing that Derek has ever done to Mark is punch him in this moment.
Oh, it sounds like he's just always been like, I'm better than you. I mean, Mark says
that's what we get. That's what we get. That there's this chip and there's like a little bit of resentment. I'm just the charity case
that the Shepherd family had to take in.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, there's some unpacking that needs to be done on that.
Yeah.
But Mark also like throws a really fast stitch and saves this guy's life. And Derek's like, oh, well, I guess I should forgive you if you're a good doctor.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that that's exactly the way that it's connected. But it is kind of where that scene where he's like, where Derek's like, hey, you going to get that bleeder or what? He's like, it's been done, dude. Like, there's no more blood. We're good, right? And he's like, oh.
Here's what happens.
Okay, you keep your secrets.
They go to tell the wife, you know, this is all the things that happened. These are all the injuries he sustained, but he's going to be okay. We were able to fix all of these things during surgery. And she's like, thank you so much. And Derek says, thank Dr. Sloan, because he saved your husband's life. Not many people could have like handled the complication the way he handled it. And this to Derek is an apology, because the man is incapable of uttering the words, I am sorry.
The
Even
irony
when he is the most wrong that a person can be.
The irony about
him.
This. Just to be
in
clear, what
you
are your thoughts?
Unclear.
What do you think? What do you think about Derek?
Derek fucking sucks.
The irony about this is that he's incapable of saying, I'm sorry. And people just have to, because here's the thing. He then the next scene, he's like, oh, Mark, if you have to ask for a compliment, it's not even real. Like, it's not even a real compliment. And Mark's like, it is to me. Compliment me. Let's do this. Yeah. Which yeah. I am Mark in the scene. I get it. But then you could use that exact same logic. If you don't say I'm sorry, you didn't say I'm sorry.
He's never said it.
He's never said it.
I mean, he said it when he kills people sometimes, I guess, but.
Well, he said it to the guy over and over, and he's like, you're a murderer. Stop saying I'm sorry.
I know. Anyway, so I just needed to get that out of my system because I had that note.
Yeah. What I'm actually hoping, though.
Saying sorry, because he won't ever fucking say it.
What I'm actually hoping, though, is that at one point in the show, Derek does say sorry.
If he does, I will say, I'll keep a count. I'll be like, look, guys, it only took however many episodes to get an apology out of this man.
Well, we're getting to over at 100. Maybe that's how they celebrate the 100th episode.
Yeah.
And it's for like something stupid, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I tripped over your foot.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all we get. Ugh. 19 yeah. seasons.
So anyways, he does the back and forth when Mark is like, oh, that's the first time you've ever given me a compliment. He's like, it wasn't a compliment. It was a statement of fact.
Those two things are not mutually exclusive.
I hate this man. Like, I hate him. I hate him so much. Like, don't be a dick. Just be nice to him. He's like, thank you so much for that compliment. And Derek's like, it wasn't a compliment. What? Just say you're welcome.
But that's the catalyst. The not compliment is the catalyst to them watching the rest of the game. Drinking beer together. Hanging out. Best buds again.
Yeah, they're friends again.
You're not compliment.
Also, the scene with Meredith and Lexi at the table at the end of the episode, like when they're in the kitchen, is another scene I love. This is a really good Meredith episode. Like, as much as unrealistic of her to like think she could ask Izzy to plan the wedding and then like also want it to be small. I think it's a good for growth, like with the whole thing about the chief. And then when she's sitting with Lexi and Lexi's like, oh, I'm so sad I didn't get to see you in the dress. And Mary's like, well, you will. And she's like, how? Like, if Derek and Mark don't, you know, make up. And she's like, well, you're my sister. You're going to be in the wedding. And Lexi's like so excited. She's like, I'm going to be a bridesmaid. Like, it's so cute. And the fact that Meredith has gone from being like, I don't, what do you want dark me to do about the stormy. Fact that I have a sister? To, like, I want my sister to be in my wedding is such a growth. And, like, she's done it, you know, on her own, and it makes sense. It tracks with what she's been through. And I love that arc for her.
It's times like these that I have to remind myself, Ellis is dead. Susan is mm-hmm. dead. Thatcher's mm-hmm. maybe on drunk. The brink of death, drunk somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, and Lexi has another sister. Mm-hmm. And a niece or a nephew, right? They had a kid. Mm-hmm. We just don't talk about that side of the family anymore then, I guess.
No, not really.
Yeah, it's okay. So Meredith had a couple of good scenes in this episode where she's like, I'm not a church person or a ring person or a white dress kind of bride. And then Derek's like, well, can you be a getting married in the field naked kind of bride? Because, like, I can make that happen. And she talks about the cancery eyes when she's talking about
Izzy. I can't go in there and
talk about her cancery eyes. So, yeah, good episode for Meredith. I also do want to circle back to the scene where Weber is like, hey, I hear congrats are in order. And she's like, what? What do you mean, congrats? She's like,
why does he even know we're engaged?
And Derek's like, I have a friend.
First of all. Even if neither of you told him, no one in this hospital is keeping secrets. Okay. Yeah. Everyone would know.
Like, it's all over the place.
This hospital does nothing but operate and gossip.
Yeah.
That's it. He would know.
Because they'd be gossiping while operating, which is what happens.
What are your thoughts on her being like, I don't think I'm a ring person?
Jessica and I don't wear our rings almost ever anymore.
I know. It's wild to me.
Well, for me, there was always like this, because I would take it off at work and I would leave it next to my computer and then I would forget and then I would lose my ring. So I just don't like wearing it. So instead of risking losing it, I just keep it at home. But I would do like a necklace with my ring on it. I would do that.
Would you get like a different ring that you maybe don't dislike wearing? Like, have you tried, like, the silicone ones? Michael got one of the silicone ones to wear when he works out.
No. I just don't like anything on my hands.
You're a weirdo.
It's my guitar. What if something happens? They're my guitar playing fingers. And that ring finger on my left hand is one of the most vital guitar playing fingers.
What if something happens and someone thinks you're not married?
Well, then I politely accept their advances and then tell Jessica afterwards.
Okay. Good to know.
No. No one has. Everyone knows. It's the first thing out of it. Hi, I'm Carmen. Nice to meet you. And I am married. Happily. With a baby girl.
Happily, just so you know.
Not dying of Tay-Sachs disease. And I'm not crying about it still.
And yeah, it's just. Why did you take it off at work?
Because I was typing a lot.
Is this all your works that you've had since marriage? Like every job that you've had.
Yeah, the last job. Well.
Oh, okay. And Disney?
And Disney, Rock'em, Sam's Club, Lucid, Dick's.
Interesting. You did lose it once, but you haven't lost it for real.
Well, I lost it in the house. It was in the house.
Yeah, you lost it in one of the moves, but it was not gone forever. And then you found it. So you haven't, when he says he lost it, he didn't like lose it for real. Like he has his wedding ring.
Yes. Yes.
He just doesn't ever wear it.
I've only lost my AirPods. I got a new one. So, okay.
So, yeah.
I was going to say, should we talk about the rest of, is there anything else with the driver that we want to talk about with his situation? I think we kind of covered it in the last surgery.
When he goes on his, like, I was just driving to the bank. Like, who does this? Like, I was just trying to, and this, I had to read a book in high school and this reminded me of it where a girl, like, I think she tries to commit suicide by running her car off the road and she is unsuccessful, but she knocks over a stop sign when she does it. And then, like, because of that, there's then a fatal car accident at that intersection, like, a week later. And it's, like, her coming to terms with the fact that, like, that's her fault. And she was just trying to, like, she was trying to hurt herself, but she inadvertently hurt, like, a lot of other people.
Yeah.
So it kind of reminded me of that. And it's just, like, yeah. with the Mr. Malloy storyline, like, that's an interesting way to try and do that, because you were not successful, and B, you like caused another person a great deal of physical and emotional harm.
Yeah. Because, and imagine also, if you were like, successful.
If you are successful, then that person is going to feel responsible. Like that's fucked up. Like that's a hard, like, I just don't even know what you would like, how do you come to terms with that? So I don't know. That's just like, I feel bad for him. He's just, you know, trying to go to the bank. And then obviously, Owen's in therapy, which we love.
Yes. We
love to see Owen finally start with the comeback of Dr. Wyatt.
Didn't I predict that he was going to get into therapy?
I think so. I think you did. Thank
he
God.
Needs it. He needs it.
They all do. And so he's in therapy trying to say it's not about what happened at war, which, like, it's not only about what happened at war, but it's absolutely related to what happened at war. Like, if you go through a trauma and you don't process your trauma, then other things in your life are going to be related to that trauma. Yes. And the therapist's whole thing is like, you have to acknowledge and be able to like name your emotions, because you can't deal with emotions if you can't even say what they are.
Which is so powerful. Because in the beginning of the episode, he's like, I have nothing. I don't know.
Yeah. He's like, I don't even know what I feel. And she's like, well, then how are you going to like move forward with trying to change how you feel if you can't even name it? Right. And so then at the end, he's like, I feel ashamed that like I knew that I wasn't okay, and I got with Christina anyway, and now she is hurt because of me, and I should have like drawn the line because I knew that I wasn't okay. So it's sad. It's a hard episode.
It is.
But a good, you know, obviously it's good for anyone who needs help to be able to have the space to like process stuff like that. But yeah, he's like, she was just going to the bank and I just fucking wrecked her. And it's sad. And I mean, you know, there is something to say, like, he did kind of try and break up with her, although it was already after he had had the PTSD flare situation. But she said, like, why don't you let me decide what I can handle? And ultimately that is what happens. Like, she is the one who's like, well, I can't handle this, but he's still gonna feel remorse for that anyways. And he feels saddened and ashamed and regretful. And so we love Dr. Wyatt. I love her character. I love how they integrate her with different people on the show.
Well, they use her as a vessel for the behind the scenes character growth that we're led to believe has to happen. Just like,
well, and like with some people, it's believable that they would be able to grow on their own. Like just a regular people going through life experiences and like
no one in this TV show.
There are some people where it's less believable that they would just wake up one day and be like, oh, I'm healed.
I get it. I can't do this to people.
Right. So it does make, I mean, and again, I'm a firm believer in like everyone should have therapy, because even if you like don't feel like you have any grand traumas in life, it can just be good to have like a unbiased third party to like talk things through. And just kind of have an outside perspective on different situations.
Analysis. Yeah. I like that he goes through the beginning of the episode not being able to name his emotions, and he ends with, okay, I get it now. I caused this wreck. Mm-hmm. And it also, I will say, we've seen Hunt for quite a bit of time now. Mm-hmm. And I also think that he's an incredible actor, because I've seen him grappling with this fact while in the relationship, or like even while courting and wooing Christina through that journey. Like, you could tell the human side of me really, I like this girl. Yeah. But the trauma side of me is like, you know, devil and angel on the shoulder situation.
Yeah.
And it's just great acting to see that kind of internal struggle, and how it ended is sad, because you get the opening scene, one of the opening scenes where they see each other coming out of the elevator.
Yeah. And she's like totally turns. Look at him.
Yeah. I hope that they're able to get to a point where there's forgiveness and growth and maybe even a revisiting, you know, right place, wrong time.
From the end of the last episode is she doesn't want to not be with him. She wants to be with him, but she doesn't. She knows where he currently is not a place that she feels safe. And that's very, very sad. And so I do think she wants to be with him. She just can't be with him now. And I think that would be so hard because, you know, they both want to be together, but they just it's not the right time. But they have to work together. That's so sad and so hard.
So. Yeah. Can't even imagine, but I'm excited to see the growth. I hope that this is not a one and done episode with Hunt and therapy. I hope that they have more of these interactions.
Now we get to talk about this very huge plot point that we haven't even started on yet, which is Callie and her dad.
Yes.
Which is, okay, this is 2009. And in 2023, this is still unfortunately relevant for a lot of people. Even this week, I saw someone that I've been friends with since college had posted something about a family member reached out on Facebook and was like, I just can't believe that you're gay. And like, I'm just like praying for you that you'll realize that he's married to a man very happily. Like, leave him alone. It's not hurting anybody. Like, it's not, just don't, you're wrong. Jesus doesn't care if people are gay. The Lord hath made us this way. Okay.
Yeah. Can I get on another soapbox here? Not the same exact one, but another.
Get on a large box of soap, please.
A memory came up today on Facebook. It was yesterday or today. But it was about a lot of when the Roe v. Wade situation was coming up within the last year or two, whatever. And basically the post that I had made is like, I love Jesus. I go to church every Sunday. I play in the worship band. But in no way am I going to live in a world where someone tells my daughter what to do with her body.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not. And obviously this is a very this is a different circumstance with the dad, and it's there's some parallels to it, not with like an abortion side of things or like a pro-life versus pro-choice kind of argument, but there is something to be said about like this world that we live in now. There's no room for people to be dictating how other people live their lives or not accepting them for who they are. Like, let's just fucking ELE in the immortal words of Flint Tropics coach and all-time great Jackie Moon, ELE, everybody love everybody.
Truly.
Just that fucking simple. So anyways, every time I think about the LGBTQ plus conversation, I think of the pro-life, pro-choice conversation. And I'm just like, just who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yep.
Anyways, so the security guard of Genovia is telling Callie to come home, and we get a really great opening scene with Mark, George, Callie, and Arizona. Do you want to give us the play-by-play on that?
The opening scene, first they're like, okay, first of all, we've totally skipped Mark and Arizona being friends, but they are, and I love it.
We also skipped that he returned in the recap. They showed his face in the recap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So you knew he was going to make a comeback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he shows back up, and Callie is and Arizona have been like, oh, well, we're not going to introduce him because like we just like he's only here for a day, and like, it's just like a lot to like, we haven't really prefaced the situation, like, well, whatever. And then he steps out of the elevator, immediately slams. Well, Callie's like, run, George. And he's like, why? And so her dad just slams him right into the wall and is like, why shouldn't I kill you? You cheated on my wife. How dare you commit adultery? And Callie's like, everybody commits adultery. Look, I cheated with Mark before we were divorced. And so then he slams Mark against the wall and he's like, why shouldn't I kill you right now?
And, because murder is bad.
And so then they like go back and forth, and then she's like, I'm dating someone new, this is, and then she just like spur of the moment decides, she's like, you know, this is my dad, we love each other, we have a great relationship, he's going to be supportive, I'm going to introduce him to Arizona. Pulls Arizona over and she's like, nice to meet you, and I hope you draw the line at throwing women into walls. And so he's like,
great, oh, great, no. Comedic timing. Also, like, I just want to also shout out when he lets Mark go, he like brushes off his lab coat. It's like, sorry about that. Doesn't say sorry. Doesn't apologize. Right, but he is like, let me just go ahead and unwrinkle your lab coat now. Remember in Brooklyn Nine-Nine when Rosa Diaz tells her family, she comes out to her family.
And she's like, you would rather me be having a relationship with a married man than with a woman. And she's like, well, your worst fears are true because I am gay. Mm.
It's insane. But I love the scene where Callie's going in and out between speaking Spanish and English, and Arizona's like, I can't help you I don't here. Speak,
yeah, I don't. And so then she calls Mark in and she's like, I don't speak Spanish. And also, like, I have to go take care of, like, all the small dying children. And so then Mark's like, hey, stop speaking Spanish because I don't speak Spanish. And so she's like, you know, my dad told me that he's going to take me home. And he's like, well, just don't go. And she's like, no, you don't understand. He's like always supported me. He's given me so much. Like, he's given me this trust fund. He paid for my med school and my undergrad and all this stuff. He's never wanted me to worry about anything. And Mark's like, that doesn't, just because someone supports you doesn't mean they respect you. And you need to tell him that. And that is
powerful. Honesty.
Impactful and correct.
Yeah.
And I think he kind of feels that. You see that reflected kind of in the surgery with Derek, where he's like, I'm always just going to be the charity case. Like, you'll never like see me as a real person. Like, I'm just going to be this charity case that your family took in.
Yeah.
I think that does kind of resonate with Callie. I think her and her dad, I do think that we're meant to believe they have a special bond. But you know, we only see so much from this side of, you know, the story. And he lives in Miami, I think is what they say. So he goes to the chief and he's like, I'm going to tell him that, like, I'm going to take you home with me and you're going to live with me and your mom and you'll work at this hospital in Miami and, like, it'll be great. And she's like, what is happening?
And then he goes to Weber and is like, how much can I pay you for the, I'm going to go ahead and buy my daughter back from child. You.
Yeah. It's a weird vibe. I mean, what does he do? It as like, I don't know if they ever say, but they say that Callie is an heiress. So,
well, Genovia pays well.
Yeah. And so he's like, the concept with the chief is that, you know, you've put an investment in her education. So I don't want to like take that away from you. So I'll like basically give you a refund in exchange for my daughter. And the chief is like, your daughter's a grown woman, so you can't do that. And he's like, ugh, who cares if she's a grown woman? I'm still going to do whatever I think is right.
Well, then he justify it. He's like, you clearly don't have kids because all I want to do, it's in your veins, blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, the love never goes away. Correct. You fight for them always. You never surrender. Okay, correct. You're bringing up good points, but you're justifying the wrong shit.
Like, yeah, the thing that you're fighting for is just her not doing something that you don't like.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's like very religious undertones with this because the whole thing is like they're Catholic and that's why, you know, they're like homosexuality is wrong. It's not. God doesn't care. Also, the linguistics of it. My turn for the soapbox. No one ever translated the Bible that way until the 80s. And if you talk to linguists in any other language other than the English language, that's not how it translates. It doesn't translate to man lie with another man. It says man lie with another boy. So it says don't be a pedophile, which is very different than not being gay. So shut the fuck up.
One is wrong.
I love you all, but please let gay people exist. They're literally not hurting you in any way. There's the whole like, oh, you don't have kids because you don't know blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, it is. It would be a good speech if like that's not what you were talking about.
If you were protecting her from a rampant drug abuse or.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like she's trying to murder someone. I don't, you know, there's there's extreme bad things
like
they could be doing.
Like an emotionally abusive relationship or something like that. Like there are a lot of situations where this speech would be very impactful. And this one, I'm just like, well, not on your side. And there's literally nothing you can say that's going to make me be on your side. So, so then Callie has a long talk with her dad, and he's like, well, if you don't come home with me, I'm cutting you off. And she's like, well, then I'm cutting you off. Like, we don't have a relationship anymore, which again is unfortunate and something that happens to people still in the year 2023, which is stupid. Yeah. Like, just if you're not okay with having a gay child, don't have a kid, because they might be gay. They just might be. That's good. They're going to be born that way. Okay.
Yeah. Just like Lady Gaga.
That's how I feel.
They're born that way.
Right track, baby. I was born this way. Okay, so... yeah, can anything else to say on that?
No, I was gonna say something about Lady Gaga, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know how, like... So, obviously, Facebook memories bring up good stuff. Mm-hmm. Facebook memory also bring up bad stuff.
Yes.
And I'm gonna throw myself under the bus here.
Okay.
Back in, I think, like, 2009, I think a memory came up, 2000, like I think 2007 is when Facebook started, but like 2008 or 2009, I made a Facebook status that said Lady Gaga is ugly, but she sings well.
That's unkind.
It's unkind because untrue. Also it is untrue. I'm like, what was 2009 Carmen thinking? That's
or
what
looking
but,
at.
Well, but yeah, that's the other thing. I'm like, what was I looking at? Like, what was going on? The internet hasn't, the internet has changed, but so I just want to, publicly say, even though I deleted that comment from history, I'm calling myself out because it's not true. She's a queen.
What were you doing?
I don't know.
You weren't watching Grey's.
I wasn't, clearly.
Just posting dumb shit on the internet.
Honestly, I clearly didn't get woke until like 2015, and I finally started saying some good stuff.
Okay, so yeah, it was the scene where Arizona's like, are you okay? She's like, yes, no, I don't know. And then she like breaks down and cries, and Arizona just hugs her. And I'm sure, because Arizona has been out for longer, I'm sure she has had like friends or, you know, potentially other relationships where this has occurred. So she probably has some, I guess, history with that kind of situation. She's just like there for her, and she just comforts her, and she's just like, that sucks. And it does suck.
It's also it speaks to the character development that they're making with Arizona, because she just saw little Jessica die, and she still has enough empathy to go and give Callie, who is still very new in their relationship, that grace.
And they did have that moment at the beginning of the episode where they're like all cute in the stairwell,
steamy,
kissing,
loving that kiss
again. Back in the stairwell, we're elevators and stairwells.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere in this hospital that goes up and down, it's just where all the things occur. Yeah.
Is it too soon to make a joke about jumping out the windows if the elevator and the stairs are both occupied?
Yes. Also,
the trigger warning was on the last episode.
anything else to talk about?
No, I think that's it. Let me just do a quick scan of my notes here. We do.
Can you hear that? Can you hear that?
What? That's the sound of your straw having sex with your cup. Oh.
Okay.
I just love that I love that they had her eating a Twinkie. Lexi was eating a Twinkie at the end of the episode. Yeah. Love that. I also just want to say that when they prefaced, when Dr. Swender said she could have a heart attack, I thought that she was going to have a heart attack in this episode. I thought that was the preface. So when she did flatline or she started to code, I thought that she was going to have a heart attack there. She didn't. I like the fact that Mark and Derek are made up. I'm glad that that didn't last too long. They beat the Christina and Meredith beef dead with a stick. So I hope they learned their lesson, but I don't like how they got there. But I do like it when Arizona paged Mark, she called him Callie's best friend, and that was cute. So
yeah,
I think that's all I got. Also, the dad just is walking around the hospital while she's popping dude's bones. Like, he's just standing there.
Yeah, they have a very intense conversation while she's causing someone a lot of pain.
Yeah. So I just wanted to call that out. Cracking the dude's legs into place, and he's like telling her the business, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's all I got. Anything you got? Any notes that you had that you wanted to go over?
No, I think that's it. I think I got all of mine out. I think I mentioned all the... Oh, at the very beginning when Mark and Derek are arguing, and the patients are also arguing as they're coming in from the ambulance, and the one guy is like drunk and the other patient says liar, and then Mark says pathetic and Derek says ass, because they're like also going at it while the patients are going at it. That was funny.
Which is, you know, totally professional.
Yeah, for sure.
Shall we rate it?
We shall.
I'm about to piss a lot of people off here.
Okay, go ahead.
Just a 4.
Well, I think mine was like a 3.8, so there with you.
The thing like for me...
It's an episode. Things happen, you know.
Yeah. There, I will say, you would think... This episode has had a lot of potential to hit a 5. A dude jumped out of a building and ran through a 6-inch pane of glass. And I weeped like a little baby when Jessica died. So... I don't know. It just like it is, you know, it was just better than average, but it wasn't a 5.
It had moments that were impactful, but overall as an episode, I'm like, you know, I'm not like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, it's one of those like in between things are, you know, a lot has been happening. So we're kind of ramping down from, I mean, a lot of stuff obviously is still happening. Like Izzy has cancer. Like it's not going great, but I feel like, after so much like back to back to back insanity, they are kind of just being like, oh, here are just also some regular episodes.
Yeah.
So
no one's going to explode in this episode.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it was like a 3.839 if I had to say. And so, predictions, you said Izzy's going to die in the season 5 finale.
Yep.
You had previously said that Derek and Meredith's wedding was going to be in like season 7 or 8. Where do you stand now?
It's a good question. I think I'm trying to put my mind into the writers to make this prediction. But I think if I was writing Izzy's character and the friendship group, if they still kill Izzy off, which I do think happens, they're going to know that she's not going to make it, and they're going to do the wedding so that she can be there. And then she's going to die after they get married.
Okay. So season 5 finale?
I think I'm going to bump this up to before Izzy dies in the season 5 finale, they'll get married.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Izzy dies unexpectedly. No, I'm going to go with my prediction. They're going to get married in season 5. No, they got to break up. They got to. I don't fucking know. Come back to me. See the season 5 finale.
okay.
Hold. No, I need to make a prediction. I predict that they will not get married or no, they get married. They get married. Okay. Okay, this is hard. This is hard. I've not seen this show, you guys, in case you haven't heard.
That's the premise of the podcast.
They get married in the season 5, in season 5, before Izzy dies in the finale. However, ultimately, they either get a divorce or Derek dies because they can't stay together, because I would imagine Patrick Dempsey moves on from the show because I don't believe that he is in season 19 when Meredith is there. So they either get married and then something happens to Derek, or they don't get married. Or it's a fake wedding and they just want Izzy to be there.
Okay. What about George?
George goes into trauma, like we decided, and him and Alex do become friends.
Okay. What about Christina and Owen?
Christina and Owen will get back together after he is healed. But they do not end up together. They don't end up together.
Mark and Lexi.
Mark and Lexi, they're going to get married. And it's her baby. It's his. Well, that kid she's pregnant with, it's her baby. It's Mark's baby.
Okay. Well, I don't. Okay.
They're going to get pregnant, though.
Okay. Anything with Bailey?
Bailey and Tuck are gonna get a divorce. I just don't know when. I'm predicting that she does not finish out the PEDS fellowship.
She doesn't.
I don't think she does.
Because of Tuck?
No, because of the emotional toll it takes on a person.
Oh.
Or she finishes the fellowship and then goes back to general surgery.
Okay. Anything else? Christina, no one you said. Oh, Callie.
Callie does in fact cut off her dad, and it's going to be a parallel story to what they did in Scrubs when Elliot cuts off her dad.
Why did she cut off her dad?
Because she's dumb.
Oh, okay. So not really the same then.
But she then lives out of a trailer with all of her stuff inside of it.
Oh, okay. So you just think Callie's going to be poor now?
Yeah. Thank you for getting to the point I was trying to make for me.
Okay. And I think that's it then. Thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in. Sorry, this one was a little bit longer, but we're still trying to split them up to make it a little bit easier for listening purposes. You can find our Patreon and our link tree in our bio. You can follow us on Instagram. graysacademypod@gmail.com is the email. graysacademypod is the Instagram. You can follow our individual Instagrams, chaoticallykelsey, carmen.gabriel.official. And you can message us and email us and talk to us. And if you talk to Carmen, remember,
no spoilies. And if you run into me at a grocery store and go, I recognize that voice, you're the voice of my favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast, Grey's Academy, I'll take a selfie with you. But please don't tell the paparazzi where I am. And with that, we appreciate you all. Thank you for listening. And we will see you all in the next one.